Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. From a desperate existence in a Victorian freak show to his days as the toast of London High Society, the life of John Merrick, the Elephant Man, has fascinated the world for well over a century. Though his disfigurement brought notoriety, it was his unblemished inner humanity that most astonished everyone he knew. Berkshire Theatre Group presents Bernard Pomerantz's Tony Award-winning drama, The Elephant Man, May 28th through June 15th at the Unicorn Theatre in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. The Elephant Man is an examination of society's perception of beauty, normalcy, and kindness. It's a deeply human story about the need for connection and understanding. We are joined now by two actors from the production, Michael Wartella, who plays John Merrick, or the Elephant Man, and Harry Smith, who plays Dr. Frederick Treves. Michael Wartella and Harry Smith, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Michael, let's begin with you as the title character of the show. It's a very demanding role. Could you explain to the audience what some of the particular asks of your talents are for this piece?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really a lot of fun to get to work on something like this as an actor. The requirements that the playwright requests is that you don't use any kind of artificial facade to create who this person was. And
no prosthetics.
No prosthetics, no costume pieces to indicate any kind of physical changes. It asks the actor to kind of transform themselves to the best of their ability into something that tells the story. So it's quite difficult on the body, on the back and the knees and all the fun things, but hopefully you're training, you learn how to do stuff like that in a healthy way. And what I like to keep saying is that it feels so transformative because it feels like I'm putting on this sort of mask of the character right from the start of the show, which then allows me to feel sort of safe and comfortable and get really vulnerable with the audience as a human being. It's a pretty cool thing. I'm really into it.
What did you bring to the audition as far as that physicality goes, or did you mostly develop it once you were cast and with the director in your cast?
Definitely that, seeing as there was no audition for, I think, any of us, actually.
How silly of me to assume.
No,
you guys are off our own.
No, that's a very uncommon process, to be honest. All of us have worked with this director in one way or another, except for maybe Laura. And he's a wonderful, wonderful fan of all of ours, and it's a great process to do it that way. He likes to work with people he trusts. But in that sense, what always is to me a little bit scary as an actor is when there is no audition, they don't know what they're getting. So you have to just kind of bring to the table whatever you think is right and shape it with them as you start. So I definitely did a lot of work on my own in my, you know, house for months before this, like developing what felt logical and made the most sense to me to bring to the room the first day.
Harry, you play Frederick, a very important role in the story, and a Belgian officer who also matters a lot. But, you know, Frederick is kind of the, I would think, the heavier lift. What is it like to embody and portray this person and explore humanity throughout the piece as you rehearse and get ready to open?
I think one of the reasons that Kate McGuire, who runs the theater group, chose this play is, and she spoke about on the first day of rehearsal, was that it's a play about kindness. And she felt that this was a time that it was important to be putting a play about kindness in front of audiences. The play is about kindness and charity, and my character essentially tries to rescue Merrick, the Elephant Man, from his, as he puts it, wretched existence. But in the process of doing it, what he does is he attempts to sort of civilize him in his own terms. And the whole of Victorian society around him does the same thing. They sort of try to turn him into the image of what they think he should look like. And I think it's one of the most interesting facets of this play is it explores the ways in which we use charity and charitable acts to reflect ourselves and our own needs. And it sort of challenges the selflessness of those acts, or at least embraces the duality of the selflessness, which is very much inherent. You know, Treves rescued Merrick from his life in the circus and gave him food and shelter and care and basic needs. But which of my needs were being met? Which of our society's needs were being met by rescuing him in that way? To what extent do we offer charity in the way that it's needed and the way that honors the subjects of that charity, and to what extent do we offer charity in ways that meet our own needs? That's something worth exploring. Is it problematic? Is it an essential part of the charitable process? What effect does it have on the giver? And the effect that rescuing Merrick and essentially trying to civilize him has on Trevis is profound, because he recognizes through the play that there is a sort of moral bankruptcy to trying to dehumanize him by turning him into this picture of what a Victorian gentleman should look like. What has that cost him? What have we taken away of his essence? And what does that mean for the role that I've taken on, the identity that I have as a doctor, as someone who saves, as someone who helps and cures? And what's the spiritual cost versus the medical benefit? There is a complicated journey there. And he ends the play with a lot of his expectations or values having been undermined and challenged by Merrick in a good way, and having a much sort of deeper and broader sense of humanity because of his exposure to this very, very human person who looked very inhuman.
Michael, could you take your journey that's alongside the one Harry just described for us of his character and tell me how the Elephant Man, how John Merrick is feeling and experiencing the same sort of elements, but from his perspective?
That's a good point. I mean, it is from his perspective. It's from my perspective as the actor within him. It's sort of my take on the whole thing. But based on the knowledge we know from the real people, we can speculate, you know, through what the play gives us as to what some of the things they were feeling. One of the first things that struck me when I read the play, like kind of reread it and reinvestigated it, was that it almost seems kind of crazy. Like in this day and age, that someone who literally just looks different is treated completely inhumanly, like completely. There was no, you know, from what they understand scientifically, his brain was functioning at the same rate as any other, you know, human being. And yet they were treating him like a child, like an animal, just based on the way he looked. They were often at that time, it was seen, the way he looked was seen as something potentially dangerous to society and ungodly. So he was shunned and ostracized. And our play doesn't deal too much with that. We kind of deal with that as quickly as we can in the first 20 minutes so that we can say, this is where he came from. And this is where he, you know, the story really picks up when Dr. Trevis and I meet up. And I think what's interesting about it is, from my own experience and from what I would imagine his experience to be, is that when you have some kind of circumstance, or let's say a lot of circumstances in your own life that are against you and you cannot overcome them, you know you're not going to be able to, you know society's going to look at you a certain way, there's a little bit of freedom in that. You have to surrender to it and go, okay, it is what it is. This is where I'm at. I'm not going to be in the same category as these other people. So here I am. And what can I gain from that as a human being? Now, I do think people have a choice. I think it's often possible that it feels like you could go towards the victim side of it. But this person did not. You know, for some reason, what I love about this play is the rise against the circumstances for this human being. And I've seen it all over the world, you know, in people who overcome incredible odds just to smile. And that's kind of what he did. And he was doing that and starting that process before the doctor encountered him. But definitely, I think there was something that the gift that was given him was a little bit of rest, a little bit of protection to be able to, you know, switch his mind from just survival and trying to, you know, eat and live to going, okay, what can I examine about this life? And I really, my character goes on an incredibly spiritual journey. And spiritual in the sense of what we believe to be, you know, maybe whatever real spirituality is. It wasn't about just religion for him. It was about finding what this world is all about, you know, finding that balance of gratitude and understanding humanity and letting yourself feel really human, you know, kind of crappy emotions, but butted right up against spirituality and evolving and knowing that our soul is bigger than just our body. And he seemed to understand that on a really deeply rich level. And he seems to have no problem sharing that with anyone who will listen, or maybe people who won't even listen, which I find really fun to do and change the chemistry of the other characters I come in contact with throughout the play. Part of the way he seems to do that and I do that is, my friend likes to always say, you know, be Jupiter. It's like, just be this big, sturdy, solid planet that attracts everything else into it. Don't go pushing everything on everyone. And I think that's what he does. He just leads by example, and people are mystified. They're just baffled, and it changes them a little bit.
One of the things that's been exciting exploring this relationship with Mike is that it's really struck me over the course of our rehearsal process just how insightful and funny the character of the Elephant Man was and is in this play, and how he uses humor and sarcasm and like very wry observations to really undercut some of those societal norms that I'm trying to impose upon him. And instantly he sort of sees them for what they are, and also knows that he has to accommodate some of them because that is his meal ticket. He is being housed and fed by virtue of this. And that the line he walks, and that Mike walks in his portrayal of the role as well, of acknowledging and being grateful for that, but offering just enough subversive commentary on it and just enough undermining of it to really affect the people who are actually listening to him and sharing the journey with him, to the point that all of my ideals are sort of undermined by it by the end of the play. It's very human and it feels like a very powerful connection.
Berkshire Theatre Group presents Bernard Pomerantz's The Elephant Man, directed by Eric Hill, at the Unicorn Theatre in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, May 28th, that's tonight, through June 15th. To learn more, you can visit berkshiretheatregroup.org. Actors Michael Wartella and Harry Smith have joined us. Thank you very much for being here, for sharing your insights and, you know, break legs. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
berkshiretheatregroup.org, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.